experience has been over the last number of months. Our staff and our teams are engaging with a lot of individuals who would not normally fall into the remit of homelessness. A lot of individuals contacting us after receiving notice to quit and have started the process of trying to acquire properties, but the properties aren't there. And if they are there, they are excessively expensive. Particularly single parent families where notice quits have come in and they are in despair in terms of trying to seek assistance from all the agencies working in the field and the local authorities, be it Limerick or Clare. So it is very stark, and as I said, the individuals that we are now engaging with would not be individuals that would have previously accessed homeless services for assistance. So it is very worrying. The government are stating they are addressing the issue with accommodation that will meet the needs, but it's still yet to come into fruition. So leaving us in a precarious situation of just having to support individuals and asking them to sustain themselves in what are not ideal situations, be it overcrowding or oversharing. So yeah, that's where we're at the moment. And
Jonathan, do you mind me asking, how difficult is it for you guys at Midwest Simon to help people? As you're saying, you've people coming to you who previously wouldn't have accessed homeless services. We know it's a housing crisis. We know that, unfortunately, the numbers of homeless are at record levels. They've continued in an orderly direction for what seems like ages at this stage. Are you having trouble finding accommodation for people?
Absolutely, we're having trouble. But then again, we're trying to remain very solution focused in terms of adapting our models or support. We successfully run a model of support, Clonua, through our Midwest Simon services, where we have shared accommodation for those that will be suitable for it, ongoing engagement with landlords and supporting or those that are seeking support with landlords to do the prevention piece. So that's where a lot of our resources going in there in terms of just advocating on behalf of those we support. But unfortunately, we are seeing quite a large number of landlords just exiting the market for whatever reasons, be it the level of taxation or just they just don't want to be dealing with being a landlord at the moment.
And huge numbers last year, Jonathan. According to the RTB, 40,000 landlords left the market in 2023. We see the Irish Property Owners Association touching on, they're highlighting some of the issues you've just mentioned, regulatory and tax burdens on landlords, making the sector unattractive for many. How concerned is this, just compounding the problem, and do efforts need to be made there by the government to discourage landlords from leaving the market?
There's no doubt about it. It is compounding the issue, and it's what it has done. It has diversified those that are seeking assistance. As I said, historically, we would have been dealing with a lot of single males. Now we've always dealt with families on a prevention base mostly, but it's now actually trying to accommodate families in emergency accommodation. So with the landlords leaving in such numbers, and we have done a huge amount of work in kind of supporting landlords in terms of how we could assist them kind of sustain their longevity in the market, but to no avail. The tax is quite prohibitive and the regulatory requirements quite prohibitive. So it has compounded the numbers, and it has only added another another group of individuals that would have previously not sought assistance. This is a national problem, as would have been stated in the report. But we are hopeful and optimistic that, Lucas, that houses and units will come on stream. But at the rate that people are presenting to us, that we're off target some bit. So.
And no doubt you want to see the delivery of more affordable housing. And have you welcomed the comments from the new Taoiseach, Simon Harris, who was speaking about housing and promised to build more housing? He's promising to build 50,000 homes a year from 2025 to 2030. But Jonathan, is it a realistic goal given where the figures are at now? Easier said than done.
Yeah, absolutely. And we would welcome any government intervention in terms of to address the issue. But as my staff on the ground, we still have to deal with the trauma of individuals presenting to us. It's not going to be fixed in a matter of months. It's going to be a long game. But in that time, you're going to have people with young families, children experiencing homelessness, compounding trauma that will have a significant impact on the rest of their lives. And yes, we do welcome government stating they're going to address this, but in the short term, we have to manage this challenging environment as it is at the moment. But I will say, look, between our funders and local authorities, we are very solution focused, and we do our best in terms of supporting clients. As I said, it's a resource heavy environment at the moment with the level of engagement with individuals, be the landlords or be the clients. So yes, we are welcoming Simon Harris's recent comments in relation to addressing the issue, but for that to come to fruition, it's going to take some time, yes.
Even assuming, and let's take an optimistic view of this, Jonathan, and say that, you know, they are able to build a quarter of a million homes over the second half of this decade. How much of that do you feel needs to be affordable housing, social housing?
Oh, a significant number of it, I would say up to a quarter of it, and given the cost of living crisis, which is also compounding the homeless crisis, which we've seen to our food banks and our assistance around food within our services, the number of people accessing and that in time will lead on to potential homelessness, where we try to do a prevention piece there with anyone presenting to our food banks, be it in Limerick or Clare. So we're actively engaged with those, because hunger is a symptom of something else that's coming down the line. But in terms of that affordability, I would say at least a quarter, if not a third, of those units need to be for social or assisted or approved housing bodies for those that we support and other agencies support.
But obviously, that's provided the government can actually build that many houses.
Absolutely.
Or the next government, whoever that may be. I'm sure you want to see efforts made in other areas to try and alleviate this situation. What else is the Simon community looking to see from the government? Perhaps an increase in HAP rates or something of that nature?
Well, look at in terms of just the expansion of discretionary HAP rates, no more than in Clare and in Limerick. The amount of derelict properties which are in the cities, I think local authorities to address this in terms of putting some policy in place of engaging with landlords of vacant properties to kind of incentivize that. There is already a model in place, but just to kind of emphasize that more, that hopefully might encourage approved housing bodies to take this on, no more than Simon, no more than other agencies do. But given the level of derelict units within the concentrated centres like Ennis and Limerick City, there's another avenue that needs to be addressed. But that also comes with statutory and regulatory requirements, which whether the appetite is there to go there. But the focus seems to be on building new houses. And with that, the added pressure on builders and contractors to provide accommodation for the builders of those units. So it is multifaceted and layered with so many challenges to fulfill these, I won't say promises, but what has been rolled out by governments.
Earlier on, Jonathan, I said we'll take an optimistic view and assume that number of houses could be built, but I'm sure some sectors of society, some age cohorts could be forgiven for being rather sceptical about it, particularly younger people. We know there's so much talk in this country over the last number of years about people graduating from college, those in their 20s, 30s, perhaps either graduating from college or they actually are in the workforce, have a good job, yet they cannot afford a mortgage, they can't afford a house, unlike the previous generation, their parents. They're still living in their bedrooms, still living under the same roof, no realistic prospects of owning a house in the future, so many looking abroad. And indeed on that, a new study by the National Youth Council of Ireland, which is gaining a lot of traction election today, and a lot of talk about this, and I've already heard a lot of stories from young people who feel they have very little option. Some of them even skipping meals there, and they feel emigration is becoming their only option. That so many of them can't see a future in Ireland. I'd be interested in your views on this, given what we've just been talking about. Have you any words of comfort for them?
To tell the truth, I don't, because as the sector that we're in, we predominantly employ recent graduates. That's a good stepping stone into the social care world that leads people on. We're finding that even retention of staff at the moment, particularly the cohort of 23 to 30, once they've gained enough experience, they are migrating. And it's something that my managers and my team leads engage with staff on a daily basis around this, that they no longer can, you know, see themselves residing here in Ireland, where they can go to Canada and Australia, where the social care sector is extremely well funded, and they're taking the opportunities there. The cost of houses and rents. Yes, we have a large majority of our staff who still reside with their parents. It is a reality for the younger staff that we employ and those that we support seeking assistance getting housing.